Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love everything about romance, just like I do. Today's special guest is writing coach Emily Tamayo Maher. She's going to talk to us about writer's block and how she inspires and coaches other writers. So please join me as I delve into this fascinating subject of writer's block with Emily. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to All About Romance. As the intro said, I'm Tricia Harley McCarthy. A lot of my followers already know me through Instagram and social media, and today we have a fascinating guest. This will be a mind blower, I'm telling you. Emily is a writing coach, but she goes a lot deeper than just helping you physically. She goes to the spiritually oriented part of our bodies that help us with our creativity, and she does the mind-body connection in the soul. It's really fascinating. It's something I'm truly very deeply involved with, and I think it'll bring a lot of perspective to people. So let's bring Emily on. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's just me. I'm very excited to have you. So thank you for calling in from, tell everyone where you're from.
So I live in Bogota, Colombia. I grew up in the United States. I grew up in Iowa, actually, which is another great place for writers. But I fell in love in my late 20s and moved to Bogota. And so I've lived here for over a decade now.
Wow. And as you feel good there, you're comfortable with there, because, you know, the news gives us different perspectives of places to live and not to go. And, you know, so what's your take on all that? Because I know living there and visiting there are probably two different things, and people's perception.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and let's see. When I first visited here, I was getting my degree in international relations. And so I was studying Colombia for a lot of the reasons probably related to the conflict, and a lot of the reasons people say the things people say. And when I got here, I just absolutely, well, fell in love with my husband, but also fell in love with the country. I had a great job teaching for a while. Now I'm running my own business. But yeah, it's a very cosmopolitan city. There's always so much going on, and I just have a really good time. So, I love living down here, and I have a 5-year-old son, and I love the school he goes to. So yeah, I'm really happy.
That's great.
You might hear him giggling
so
in the background
that.
Every now and then.
Oh, I giggle too. So we're you're in good company. So
sure.
Thank you for making time. What's the time difference there? Because right now it's around four, a little after 4 o'clock here. And Oregon.
It's 7 o'clock.
Where
yeah. You guys
have
daylight savings,
so, you, have
savings,
okay.
So you go back and forth.
Yes, we do. So, okay, well, I just got a lot of info on Bogota, and that sounds like a great place. That's maybe on my bucket list now. So that's
awesome.
Great. Well, so tell us. You were referred by my friend Julie, and she's, I know, a great friend of yours as well, and a great author, and she's said nothing but lovely things about you and how you've helped her. So why don't you tell everyone how you do help people to realize their writing to the best advantage?
Yeah, well, I think it's an amazing time, because it used to be editors would nurture people through the process. But now, you know, the editorial process really comes at the end. You know, you think of, you know, the days in Paris with James Joyce or F. Scott Fitzgerald. There were actual groups and people cultivating writers. And I think we get that to a degree with MFAs. But I love working with an author, helping talk out the content, putting together an outline, and giving advice all the way through the process, as well as, you know, doing the classic coaching stuff with motivation and moving through blocks. And so I think that it's a myth that people think writing is something people do alone. There have always been groups. There have always been mentors, and there have always been places where writing flourishes. So now that there's the internet, it's just wonderful to be able to talk to people on every continent and help them really get to the center of their plot and always be moving forward with their book. So I help in a lot of different ways, both with structuring and coming up with the material to write, and then also kind of the psychological, the momentum and the motivation side, and time management.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And when, you know, we talk about writer's block, for example, that has a lot of underlying issues surrounding it, as we were talking off air about how the mind-body-soul connection also plays a role in how our creativity flows, for example.
Yeah.
And why don't you explain your aspects of how that works?
Yeah, and that's so much fun. Actually, on Facebook, I have the group that you mentioned in the introduction, the Writer's Block. And it's a great place to just be in a group and get that kind of group energy going around the motivation to write in general. So, yeah, there's a community part to the energy of it. But as we were just talking before the show, so I help at different levels of the process. And so it's really fun. If you've ever been to a yoga class, you've probably heard about the chakras. They're the creative energy bodies inside of us. They're that kind of, if your chakras are flowing, if your chakras are open, then your writing is flowing, then your life is flowing, and things go well. And so I work with the chakras from the top down, help getting people connected with inspiration at the crown chakra, then really creating the vision for the book and structuring the outline in the third eye, then finding your voice, and then starting to just scribble out and experiment in the throat chakra, loving the creative process in the heart chakra, which is all about, you know, keeping that motivation, commitment, and making the time for it. And then I map the editing process into the solar plexus and the will to just finish it and go pro and make it really professional. And then publishing is the sacral, where you birth the book and you make those final decisions on how best to bring it into the world. And then the root chakra is rooting it and growing your audience and really just using your different channels to find your reader, so it becomes grounded in the earth and it takes on a life of its own.
I like that. I actually love that, because I do work with chakras, but as a life coach, and it helps people with blocks. And you know, we look at patterns and possibly past life things, and which I'm always fascinated with. Do you intuitively look at these issues with people when you're working with them and coaching them?
Both. And so it's really fun. When you're working with a book, it's almost as if on the intuitive side, you really start to see it as its own being. You know, I like to say, imagine your book is written. It is something that longs to come into the world. And so with energy channels, yeah, which is just fascinating, everything we're learning about energy channels, is the different energy channels in your body, you can feel it intuitively too when you learn more about the systems. But you'll come up against those different blocks. And so often, you know, through specific things, for instance, being an empath or being able to understand another person's book, I'll feel when I'm in an intense conversation with someone. But I think that it's important to know that you can do these for yourself. And so when you know the information, you can see where you're starting to get blocked. You can see where the book is kind of not moving through, where you keep getting stuck. And then it's not only, you know, doing meditation, which I love meditation, and I'm happy to talk about how that contributes to the writing process, but it's also just moving it through whatever block, whatever stage you're at. And then you'll notice once you start to change that habit, because in some ways a block is just is a certain belief. It can be a certain belief that kind of moves things down the wrong track, and the belief forms an action or a habit. And so once you kind of start to notice that I keep encountering the same problem, then all you have to do is use both your practical side and your psychological, your psyche, your soul side, and just move through that block, and then you'll be able to do it again and again, because you'll be creating that channel. You'll be freeing up that channel. So there's a little bit of both there. We could apply it to a certain stage of the process, and then we can kind of talk about how that works out.
I'll give you a perfect example. My work in progress is called Taboo, and I'm almost done with 12, and it's taken me probably 2 weeks to finish this chapter. Now, usually I could, if I'm in the zone, as I call it, I could whip out a chapter in probably 2 days, and it's taken me 2 weeks. And I do, like you said, we have our group. I have my story consult. She's a dear friend. She's a beta reader, and she's also a person that helps me steer the stories that I write. And so we were kind of at a stalemate of where the story is going to go, because, as you know, when you're writing, you all of a sudden something pops into the storyline that you had no clue that was going to be there. And in this case, we ended up with a thriller with a kind of a psychopath who was kind of going after people because he felt, you know, his ex-girlfriend, you know, jilted him, and he's not seeing the view of the world as most people do by being jilted and being a psychopath, you know. And so this lent a different aspect to the story, because initially the story is about an infertile couple and how their relationship changes because they can't get pregnant. And when she does, guess what? He leaves her, and she gets pregnant. So it's kind of those kind of storylines, you know.
I love the story.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, tell me more.
I've gotten really good feedback from the beta readers, because I do chapter by chapter as I send it out, and it really helps give me feedback with each chapter as I develop. And so right now we're kind of at the point where the psychopath has kind of been turned over to the police, but there's still some plot lines. There's a ex-girlfriend of the main character, Rourke, Charlotte, who is, she doesn't like to be jilted either, you know? So she kind of has this femme fatale, if you will, presence about her, and she's through another spanner in the work saying she was pregnant too. So then we have to figure out who's going to be the father, and it's got a lot of moving parts. So as I move forward with the story, I have to make it so that I make sure I cover all my bases, obviously, and tie up all the loose ends. And given all that, I thought I was almost done with the book, but given that I have to look back and see all the characters and sub-characters, you know, the non-primary characters too, that I have to pull them back into the story and kind of tie everything up in a pretty knot and finish it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is such a good example. So let's work with it with the chakras, because you've introduced this new character. Yeah, and it's so fun. And so I'm going to toss a couple ideas around, because that's the beautiful thing about fiction too, is it's not linear. Here is this totally non-linear connection with this new character. And so I think that when you introduce, you know, you're getting towards the end of the book, and like you said, you like to put out a chapter, you know, every few days or whatever your rate is. And the thing is that if we're looking at this from the chakras, you know, from the top-down system, which is kind of the feminine or the manifestation way we use the chakras. So a new character comes in through inspiration. So when you're first inspired, you know, you start to just kind of see, okay, there's this guy now. Then, you know, the other characters who've been developed throughout the book, you're bringing this new person in from the beginning. And so one exercise, when you're at the end of the book, you just want to sit down and you're like, I want to write this chapter. You know, let's go beginning to end of the chapter. But if there's been a new inspiration or a new introduction, you might, sometimes it helps a lot to actually step away from the novel itself and start to do some of the exercises to be able to bring that inspiration more into being. And so one thing I love to do is a coffee shop interview. So I will sit down, and this is where you take the inspiration of the character and you really start to understand both who they are, which is you start to visualize them and start to really see them as a full character, which is the third eye, and then bring them into the voice, which is what you understand when you really understand their voice. And so I would say, if it's flowing easily and you're just writing out the chapter, then of course, always go with that. But if you find, you know, the endings are sticky. There's a lot of architecture into endings. You have to make sure that all of your ribbons are tied, all of the various lines intersect or run parallel. And so sometimes I think if you've introduced a new character at a late stage, it can be nice to just sit down and start asking that character questions. Start developing material that's not directly related to the plot, but will help you understand that character's actions a little better. That way, once you go back to the book, you really understand their voice. They're fully developed, and so you can do the fun thing where you're just knocking characters against one another, because it's not an outline or a cartoon of a character, but it's somebody who you understand their fears and the desires, and you understand what they would say in a conversation or what they would do in a fight. Does that help at all? That's one fun thing to just kind of experiment with.
In fact, a friend of mine who's an author, a published author, she had done that same thing with the character. She had done an interview with them and how they would respond, and she let me read it. It was really interesting, you know. And I have done a little bit of that on Instagram. There was a challenge for authors to introduce your characters and talk about the character through the character. So I have done some of that in terms of writing what would help. And I think that's a great idea, because, you know, you mentioned meditation. And
yes.
As much as I try to meditate, it's not my thing. And that's okay. You know, my meditation is probably walking with my dog or being outside or actually music. Music is what I blast loud music in my ears when I write. And it helps the flow of creativity, believe it or not. And and the shower. When I'm in the shower,
yes,
it's like it opens you up, you know, and I get a lot of info dump in a shower.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's cleansing, it's helping you, you know, remove the fog, if you will, especially around the crown chakra. And yeah, so I will, if I have an issue, for example, I'll go in the shower, and not that I'm thinking about it, but it'll pop in that says this is what you need to do to resolve the issue with your story, for example. So,
and you want to know what, actually,
go ahead.
I'd love to take this a little bit into left field, because I think everything you're bringing, you know, you're listening to music and taking a walk, writing those endings, and once you're really into the thick of a novel, making it playful and giving space, you know, relaxing in the shower, taking a walk and giving it space and letting your subconscious deal with it quite a bit. You know, I had read a really great book recently where I learned about a concept called active rest. And so it's when we can occupy our mind, you know, say you're doing dishes, say you're doing any rote task that doesn't really use your problem-solving skills, but keeps your mind occupied in a certain sense. So for instance, I meditate and I use a mantra. That would be similar, where, you know, you're just allowing your mind to kind of take on a certain rhythm, and your subconscious can actually digest and problem solve three times faster than your neocortex, than your conscious problem solving skills. And so actually taking a little active rest, you know, 3 hours a day where you're just allowing your story to drift, then that might generate new ideas, especially with the complexity and all you're putting together in the end. That's yeah. something that I feel I have so underestimated in the past, and now I'm really putting it to good use.
Yeah, and you know, Oprah's talked about, like, doing Zen things, you know, and washing the dishes is Zen mm-hmm. for me. You know, it's just a practice. It's a ritual, in which I love doing rituals. And there's so many spiritually based things based on rituals as it is, and then incorporating that into your writing really does set the stage, I think, to help the creativity flow better, at least for me. So, but then, see, I'm an air sign. I'm always in the mental realms. So,
yeah,
I overthink. I overanalyze. I over a lot of things. And my mind's always going. So, for me to slow down and look at those things that you're just talking about and being present, that's another thing, is being present in your body, in the moment, you know, enjoying what it is right now, as opposed to looking ahead. And I think people are always looking ahead more than they are staying in the present. And I think that might derail them a little bit from staying in the present moment and focusing on what is in front of them, for example, their story.
Yeah, exactly. And it also takes the play out of it. You know, when you're
yeah.
worrying about this story, yeah, and so bringing that play, I totally agree. Because I have to tell you, you know, I had to learn this the hard way myself, and I am at a chapter right now in my book that so often I will go to it and I will just clench, and then I will write four sentences, and then I'll be like, okay, I'm done for today. I've written my four sentences. That's progress. And I
yes.
know that if I could just come at it from a more playful angle, and so I've been, you know, just filling the well, listening to different talks, taking walks, and being able to come at it from a more playful angle, and then it starts to loosen up again, and then all of a sudden, early in the morning, I'll just write down, you know, 500 to 1,000 words where I've got the new idea figured, and then all it needs is some editing again. So, yeah, I think when we're clenched around the problem, I feel guilty for playing, and then it becomes the most helpful thing.
Yes, and I think that people don't have good balance with what, you know, what's in their lives. You know, it's either all writing or nothing, you know, so there's
yeah.
really no, there's no play, as you were saying. And that's important, because to have balance and to not feel frustrated or dejected, whatever it is, because this is what leads to what you term the writer's block, you know, the frustration, and it
mm-hmm.
creates an actual block, a mental block. And that does manifest into your body. And so your mind is not clear. You're focused on the problem versus the solution.
And there are a couple things too to go at that, because when you get to the point in the book where you're experiencing some sort of frustration, becoming playful, and then also remembering, you know, just like a physicist figuring out an equation, if you can look at it as exploring that moment in the book and overwrite it, you know, come up with 12 ideas, you'll probably throw away all 12 of those ideas, but the act of opening your mind, then I notice people catch on. So yeah, just moving past the point where, why isn't this ending working? And starting to go into that place of, how can this ending work? How can I explore? And then sometimes if you start allowing your brain to explore the ideas that your intellect is saying, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. But if you just start to put them on the page again, it creates the opening to be able to find that little magic twist that really makes it work. Because of course, when your brain is on, is shutting down, that means you're out of the flow, and ideas are really hard to come by when you're out of the flow. I love this. I'm reminding myself of all these things too.
That's great. And I know when I was in graphic design school, part of the creative process for us was called brainstorming. And that was just writing things and then doing a circle. You put something in there like, I don't know, you could put in the color green, and then what's green? Leaves. And, you know, then you just branch off from there and just do this whole page of brainstorming ideas and see which ones stick and see which ones don't. And so that's another, I think it kind of reminds me of that, what you're just talking about, writing down the 12 things for the ending
writing,
and seeing where that takes you. Yep.
And that's the other thing that's fun about the community, the writer's block, is that when you do those little exercises, then you bring yourself back to the connection with your book. Sometimes you've got to dance back into the connection because, you know, you were just talking about how you are in the thick of it with your book. You're deep in and you're really wrestling with this new ending, with these new characters that are being introduced. And I would say maybe another side on that is when, you know, you keep pushing your book aside and somehow the book never seems to be the priority. And so whatever it takes to be able to reconnect with that book, if it's a playful exercise, it doesn't have to be hyper productive, but if you can ease your way back in, then all of a sudden things get rolling. But yeah, it is about the romance of the process. It's not about the grind or the push. I find that whenever I've got that dopamine and, you know, the excitement around my project, it writes itself. And so usually I'll try to generate that even before I'll try to generate a high word count, because the word count comes when you're connected and happy and excited and motivated with the book.
Right. And I see exactly what you're saying, because when you start writing the book, you're excited. You're jazzed. You're in the zone.
Yeah.
You're writing this story that is starting to come together, and your characters are talking to you, and you're just writing. And at the end, it's like any project. It's kind of like, wow, now I have to finish it. So now it's more of a chore versus the inspiration from the beginning. So you kind of have to dial it back and look at it from the inspirational part of things. When you were first jazzed about the story, you're going to be jazzed about the ending too, because you want it to be great, obviously. And people reading it want it to be great, obviously. And so that's the end goal as far as I'm concerned. So that play is important. It's the balance. It's having play time. It's, you know, taking yourself out of the seriousness, because unfortunately I think a lot of writers are also introverts. So they don't interact so much with people, you know. They're perfectly comfortable being on their own. So I don't know if that walls off people emotionally from also their stories, if they're experiencing writer's block. What's your thought on that?
Well, my thought on that, of course, is, you know, it's pretty easy to be a part of a community on the internet. So yeah, in the writer's block, you can always have fun and get that motivation and kind of get that interacting and being a part of the group energy. Because of course, I think another important part of it is when you have a lot of people around you and they're being productive and they're hopeful and they're coming up with new ideas and they're publishing their books, then you get more inspired to do it. But another thing I love that you touched on here is that how, you know, thinking of these in terms of the stages or the chakras that I talked about. So you're starting with inspiration, and then you're outlining, finding your voice, loving the practice. And then when you get to the end, you're really going pro. You're really making that push and really figuring out how things fit together. And so bringing that inspiration back in is something you really have to remember to do. And so another tip, I love just throwing out different ideas to play with. So no matter where you're at with your manuscript, you're walking away with just a lot of fun exercises. There's something I call big questions and little questions. And with questions, they bring you back to that inspired state because they let you not know. I think when you can get so concentrated on how is this going to work, how am I going to solve that, then you're not really asking. You're really just kind of grinding into that frustration. And so the big question of the book might be the central thematic question. So maybe you're writing a book, can I fall in love after a big loss? Or, you know, is love possible in situations where there's a risk of death? Or, you know, these are like the big questions that outline the plot. But then if you're getting closer to the end, try ending every writing practice with a little question where it's not you trying to figure out how is this plot going to work? What would this character say in this situation? How can I place this in an interesting setting? Rather, ask the question and then sleep on it. Give it some space, and then new ideas will start to pop up. So I love working with questions. One thing I say a lot is, as writers, don't try to figure out what to say. Figure out what to ask, and then that opens up the flow as well.
Oh, that's a great idea. I always ask my authors, especially ones that are established. I've had a few really famous authors I've interviewed, and they give us some pieces of their advice, you know, how they look at things and how they do things. And that's that. I love that. I love that. Ask the question. Not,
go back,
you know,
to the questions. Yeah, you have them at any moment during your manuscript. Go back to the questions. If you're stuck, start asking questions. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I love that too.
So do you do the questions before you even start writing? Because it sounds kind of like you that would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So often when I start with a new writer, with a new client, I ask them to center in, like, you know, what is the question you're asking the universe right now? What's the question you're really asking this book? And so some people will be writing a self-help book, and so it might be around, you know, how can I overcome this obstacle in my life? How can I keep my business successful? And then with a fiction book, you know, there are so many different possibilities here, because you can explore anything. You can explore romance. You know, how can someone fall in love in a new country? How can someone fall in love even if they are, you know, if they're opposed to this person, or if, you know, opposites attract? Or, you know, some of the classics. I always talk about like A Christmas Carol. That's one that's sitting in front of me, is, you know, what is more important, greed or relationships? And so starting the book with a question and then letting the characters live into that question is a great way to get started. And then just remembering, you know, asking a question and then letting a scene unfold, letting a character answer it. Even the exercise I was mentioning about doing the interview in the coffee shop to be able to get to know your character better. That's an act of questioning. And I think what it does is that when you know so much about your story or a book, it makes it easy to write. Because if you're coming to the page and you're like, well, I don't know what they would do in this situation, I don't know what they would say, maybe there's some development or maybe there's something that's falling flat there. And so just by asking the question, that's actually the fastest way, if you do it outside of the plot, to really get your people to interact in the plot. That's what I've noticed.
So let me ask you this question. I try not to look at reviews, because reviews can be great or they can be the worst nightmare for an author. And one of the complaints on my books has been it's like a soap opera, and because I do a lot of twists and turns, and it's angsty and steamy. That's what I write. That's what I love to write, you know. And
beautiful.
So I look at that as a downfall right now, because I'm wondering if I'm writing too much angst, too many twists and turns, and that shadow belief. If you've heard that term before, we'll start to creep in, and I start to doubt what I want to really do, and because of someone's opinion. And so that's something I've struggled with, because I've even asked my story consultant. I said, do you think I write too much twists and turns? And she goes, you know, it's a balance, you know, and she's right, because perhaps I can write too many twists and turns, because you have to balance the story too. You just can't have one thing after another happening. It's just exhausting trying to keep up.
And I'm ready to jump all over that, because, yeah. Well, one thing that I think is so important is soap operas have amazing narrative arcs. And so that in so many, that's a compliment in so many ways. I know what your beta reader is saying, in that balance, kind of the calm, reflective moments with the high tension, fast moments. Sure, that's a thing. However, I would say when you're building a following around your books, people are drinking the coffee the way you're serving it. There are so many different types of books and types of readers, and you are writing what you love to read. And if you've built a following around that, then do not be disturbed by the one person who didn't like J.K. Rowling. Am I making myself clear? Because what I mean by people are drinking the coffee that you serve. That's how you've built your following. So some people like coffee with milk. Some people like their coffee black. Some people like, you know, pumpkin butter coffee or whatever. There are so many different niches. There are so many different kinds of romance. And so when you get strong in one type of romance that you love to communicate and you connect with your readers, then they're drinking that coffee, and you don't want to switch it up based on somebody who just came into the coffee shop, took a sip, and is like, this coffee has too much sugar in it. So I would say, no, you do you, woman, because that's how you're building your audience. And now that, you know, you have access to be able to connect with the people who need what you're serving, then yes, you've got to realize that the people who you're standing strong for are worth the couple people who meander in, read your book, and kind of, you know, leave a little spot on your carpet. So for instance, and I'll say that with myself too. So for instance, I love working with writing and publishing as a spiritual path. So, you know, as we've talked about a bit with the chakras and things like that, that's the way I love to serve people, motivate people so that they're moving forward both on their spiritual path and then on their professional careers as a writer. And so, of course, you can only imagine there are plenty of people who are like, you're making all this stuff up. This is too much to the left, too much to the right, you know, put more milk in that coffee. But the thing is that the people that I serve and the people who I love to share my content with are worth it. It doesn't bother me at all that there might be somebody else who has a more abrasive way of critiquing work or something. You know, I went to the University of Iowa, and so, you know, they have very gritty workshop.
Conservative.
And now I offer something, mm-hmm. yeah, that's very different from that, and I love it. And so many people have blossomed and flourished and become very successful based on this way. And so there's one last little thing that I want to tag on to that is that, you know, one author that I coach, she came to me after she had read a few bad reviews. You know, she was publishing her fifth book. Things were going great. She was selling more numbers than she ever had before. And then, you know, it was her fifth book that had more negative reviews than anything before had had. She'd had four books in a row with great reviews, and all of a sudden one was collecting a higher percentage of negative reviews. And so she said, "You're only as good as your last book." And I'm like, well, where did that belief come from? Why did you choose that to tell yourself out of this, all the possible things you could believe? And so the fact is, when you're putting yourself out there, you can fear critics, you can learn lessons, but really working from, you know, what you love to write, what you love to read, that's where you're going to create that basis of loyal fans that are going to carry you through to the end. So don't adjust based on critics. And of course, now she's put out her sixth and her seventh book, and she's still, you know, she's making her living as a writer. And so if she would have allowed that belief, like, I'm only as good as my last book, then that would have stopped an entire career for her. So it's all about learning and becoming strong and making strong decisions about how you want to serve your coffee.
I love that whole thing. And thank you for validating that, because I think a lot of times I'll tell people to be true to themselves, because, you know, people will ask mm-hmm. on social media, what's your best advice for writing? I said, always be true to yourself. And I think that
yes.
fits everything in a nutshell, what you just said, is being true to your own voice. And because I love the human psyche, I love relationships, I love the whole angst around it. And that's my thing. And it's not everyone's thing. It's not everyone's coffee. And though I think it should be, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and it's so
we're getting
funny
low.
Well, I just wanted to say I love romance, too. And I'll tell you, my husband, he loves The Walking Dead. He loves zombie and war movies. He walks out of the room when I'm watching anything romance on TV. And so, you know, there are people who don't like chocolate. So you can't please everybody. So, yes.
That's absolutely true. And you know, the other thing I'm learning is reviews are for readers. They're not really for the author. And unfortunately, though, but Amazon makes it imperative that if you have a certain number, they'll promote you. So there's that element, too, that you have to add to the mix and be balanced about it without freaking out, because that, you know, is an aspect of marketing part that I know that a lot of authors face who are indie authors and trying to get the name out and trying to get the word out. And Amazon can make or break you in many ways. So
and
we're
you
getting
want to know
down
what
to
I
our
would...
last minute here. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, just creating a strong relationship with your readers, I would say that's a place to go with that, is when you have strong relationships with your readers, then they put reviews, then they really do those things for Amazon. So that's one place to look with that.
Great. Thank you so much for making time to be with me tonight, and your insights are fabulous. They're fascinating. I'd love to maybe work with you a little more on that on my personal side and see where that can take me. And thank you so much. And do you have any parting words, or you want to tell people where they can find you on social media?
Yes. So search The Writer's Block, and we've just got such a positive, supportive group, because I really want to line up my closing words with what you were saying about be true to yourself. Your story is meant for more than just you. Many people want to read and want to connect. And so there are so many more readers than there are writers. And so when you become the author of your book, you are serving them, you are connecting with them. So wonderful. And I really hope to see everybody in the writer's block.
I will definitely check that group out. And that's on Facebook, is that correct?
Sure, yeah. I'll message it so that it's easy to find.
Great. Next week, my guest will be Alex. He's written a YNA book, and he'll be joining us. And thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure.
Thanks,
and an
everybody.
Honor. Take care. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.